We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Thursday, October 23rd. We are 1 week away from Spooky Week, and this is the spookiest week of the year for the Aggies. I am fighting Texas Aggie Class of 2014, Rob White.
I am Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie Class 2015, former milkman. Let's go.
We are ready to rock and roll, and it is a big, big week around these parts for all of those who are well indoctrinated into A&M lore, A&M history.
Well indoctrinated.
Well indoctrinated. I mean, call it what it is, man. We put the cult in agriculture. We lean into this.
I want to lean into the show talking about big weeks, and I know where we are on the calendar. I understand everything that's going on. Trust me, it's not lost on me that some of you don't care about this right now, but rocking my Aggie basketball polo today, Bucky McMillan pulling Josh Irving. It was down to us, Louisville, and Kentucky. Whew. In basketball. It was recruiting in basketball against Louisville and Kentucky. So tip of the cap to what that dude's trying to build over there. I am pumped up for Bucky Ball, but that's not what we're going to talk about today.
I mean, that kid's 6'11", right? Did I read that correctly?
6'11", man.
Goodness.
I think he said he's a top 60 or top 80 player in the nation. He's like the number one. I can't remember what it is. I don't know if he's number one. Like maybe he's the number three center in all of California.
Love it.
Digging it.
Digging it.
Volleyball. Three straight shutouts. Shout out to those girls. Kicking volleyball. Jamie Morrison building a monster.
Yeah, it's been good to see that happen. You know, we've been waiting on volleyball to pick it up for a long time now. Soccer, on the other hand, bit of a struggle place, but
we're not going to talk about that sport in any way, shape, or form.
That's totally understandable and fair. I can agree to that sentiment. So no footy on the podcast today. We're gonna move on.
Questions. Maybe next Tuesday.
So, man, oh man. You know, once again, not a whole lot to go back and get in on reviews, but A&M goes on the road, takes care of business against Arkansas. I mean, call it what it is, business trip. You went in there and did what you needed to do to win. One thing of note before we get into the negatives defensively in this game, One thing I do appreciate is the fact that Arkansas never once possessed the ball in the second half with a chance to take the lead.
No, they didn't. They didn't the entire game after their first score.
Yep, after their first score, and we shut them down on that next drive.
After their second possession, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So really, it was more than just the second half.
Right. But, yeah, so largely throughout, you know, you had, let's call it what it was, a very soft end to the first half in terms of defensive.
That was a little frustrating.
Not great. I mean, you largely controlled this game offensively and looked pretty good defensively up until those last couple of drives before the half.
I'll tell you what, and, you know, you can blame me for not watching a ton of Arkansas football. So, yeah, sorry. Guilty. Taylen Green is that guy, man. I knew he was dynamic, but that dude really, really impressed me. He racked up like 341 or 351 total offense, like threw for 280, ran for another 85, something like that, 360, yeah. Something like that. I mean, just – He's good, man. And when he gets in the open field, he's got a look to him. You know, like when he gets into a bit of a gallop, he can throw the ball. Like just he's a true dual quarterback.
He is. And, you know, you have three passing touchdowns in the game in addition to, I want to say, but he had at least one or two rushing. I think he had two rushing touchdowns in the game as well. Yeah, so he had two rushing touchdowns, three passing touchdowns, total five touchdowns in the game.
Yeah, five touchdowns, dude. And for, 341 total yards of offense, five touchdowns.
Pretty good.
That's video game numbers, man.
Pretty damn good. And we knew he had the potential to do that. I mean, we've seen him play. I mean, we had the pleasure or displeasure of having to take care of business against him last year. We knew that this guy had a lot of potential. Now the fact that you have Bobby Petrino, who is largely off of the leash and can do whatever he wants, played to their strength offensively.
Well, you have Petrino basically auditioning to get the job back.
Essentially, yes.
And against A&M, like it was kind of the perfect storm. And speaking of storm, literally, game gets delayed 2 hours. So just you have basically all the cards in the deck stacked against you.
There was hail on the field.
That was bonkers, man. But through all the adversity, you still come out with a win. And at the end of the day, all this other stuff we're going to talk about, all these metrics and all these stats, doesn't matter because we won.
Exactly. You win the game, you own time of possession, and this was a big one. This was a big one for me. So we didn't see the same dominance on third down, although you did hold them 4 for 10 in the game. You, being the Fighting Texas Aggies, converted 3 fourth downs in this game, one of
Yep.
which was critical.
And went 3 for 3.
Yeah, all three
Yeah,
of them.
100% on fourth down. That EJ Smith fourth down, obviously ridiculous. That's just that kid is good, good, good. And I love seeing him stay here, stick with it. He's starting to look like he runs like his dad a little bit.
Well, the thing I noticed was last year when you would watch EJ Smith run the ball, it was very light contact. He would take contact and go to the ground. That's not the case this year. He's been a lot more brutal getting downfield, a little bit more aggressive, a little more driven.
He's
I
taking
love
the
what I was
contact.
seeing from him yesterday.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
he's taking the contact to the defenders this year. And
He is.
that's the biggest difference. So I've loved seeing that. I mean, I just the entire backfield, the running back room is, if you're gonna have a year where Le'Veon Moss is gonna go down, it would be this year. Not
It's a,
that I ever wanted him to go down because Le'Veon Moss is a freaking stud.
yeah, but I
But
think EJ has earned his opportunity to get a touchdown. I think he needs to go out there and get it.
yeah, we need to get him in the end zone. We need to get that dude a tutty.
He's definitely earned it. But Reuben Owens went out there, did a great job. No complaints from him either. I mean, you're averaging 5 yards a carry. That's great. EJ Smith averaging 7.5 a carry. I mean, overall, you took advantage of the many different playmakers you had, and you walk away with over 200 yards running. Love seeing that. Passing, you get 280 yards on that front. So, I mean, offensively, once again, going back to what we were talking about last week, which unit do we want to lean on? I was feeling offense this week because we were going to have to deal with what Arkansas was bringing to the table. We did take advantage of that. We got the key stops when we needed to. And even in the fourth quarter, we take away that, let's call it what it was, a soft holding call on on Marcel Reed's what would have been the knife to end the game. Arkansas fans have been pouring out, game over. You're up two scores with 5 minutes to go.
Heisman moment.
Heisman moment. Gone because of a ticky-tack hold. And speaking of penalties, let's go ahead and bring up this little tidbit. So leave it to the SEC. To go in here and give A&M the first penalty and fine for faking injury on the field.
This is my shocked face.
I mean, it doesn't shock you at this point at all because this is one of those situations where it feels like the league, and I'm not accusing the SEC of anything, but it wouldn't shock
You
me.
gotta put your tinfoil hat on here for a second.
Man, if I had tinfoil around here, the best thing I can do is, I guess, this little guy here right here. So we're going to throw that on. Here's the deal. So A&M is not the pre-established big dog of the SEC. You got like the New York Yankees and you got the Dodgers, the big teams, the big money teams in the SEC that everybody wants to see do well because it's good for TV ratings and it's good for all these other fun things. They don't necessarily see the same level of horse hockey when it comes to penalties. They just haven't.
It's and we got statistical evidence about the penalty, like the actual penalties on field. We got
Exactly.
statistical evidence for that, a
Like,
couple
this is
months
not
back.
that big of a conspiracy. It's just stated fact on numbers. Stats are important, people. That's why they exist.
Well,
Numbers and trends.
and this goes back to what Elko said a couple weeks ago in the locker room. Like sometimes you just got to kick down the effing door, man. And if we do that, we announce, we come in, we win the conference, or Lord forbid, we win a national championship. I've said it before, I will be insufferable.
But we both will, sir. This podcast, if we get around to about January, this podcast is still very much about A&M football by that point. Brother in Christ, it's gonna be too wet to plow around these parts for some.
Yeah. But Yeah, but it is about just establishing that you are with, the elite. You are performing at the top half, the top quarter of the conference. I mean, you've got to do it more than one year,
Of course, like this is not a 1 year deal.
but I think we also all think, kind of feel, believe, kind of thing that Elko is building something, and it's. I think we took a bigger so far. We've taken a bigger step than I think a lot of people expected us to.
I think the thing that really kind of resonated with me, and I think it was kind of a funny deal to consider. So you're on X Twitter, and you get to see Message Board Geniuses tweet. The fact that they tweeted out this week, "Hey TexAgs, we miss you," is a very good sign because that means we're not out here creating a bunch of hypothetical stupid stuff all the time. Granted, there's plenty of that that happens.
They must have just missed the game thread,
I
probably.
guess. But the reality is, we haven't been kind of a point and laugh institution this year. It's become, okay, how good is A&M really, right? That's where the arguments are starting to come in. You got people who are accusing us of having a soft early schedule, which, last year, what did we say about this schedule? Like, this was a tough schedule last season, and it was. It absolutely was a tough schedule last year. We can't control how the other teams perform. I don't think people understand that concept. South Carolina was supposed to be a lot better than they are. Can't help that. Florida was supposed to be a lot better than they are. They can't help that. Auburn has been competitive in every game they've played in the SEC, but they've lost all of them. And probably going to be a similar situation this weekend when we get talking about that game for a minute. But the fact is, A&M has done what they've needed to do to win games. And it goes back to that complementary football we've talked about time and time again. Offense picks up defensive slack in this game. And that's all we can ask of them. They win the game. You go into a tough road environment in addition to a time delay, in addition to a weather delay. You let the team kind of come back and the fans get back into it right before the end of the half. So you got to shut them down in the second half. You did what you had to do to win the game.
When the final whistle blows, you're on top. But yeah, that's what matters. The rest of this stuff is film room stuff for the team to deal with. But you're undefeated. You went to a road environment, your first conference road game, took care of that. You've been on the road, South Bend, you took care of that. So again, and we'll get into this Vandy tie-in with our schedule here in a second.
Oh, yeah.
But and now it's. The teams left on your schedule at before this season started, this schedule looked a lot more daunting.
Oh, no question it did.
But now you're like, this is pretty stinking manageable.
Well, especially on the back stretch. I mean, if we're looking ahead here.
Well, we were circling basically
Yeah.
LSU, Missouri, Texas, and all three of them have not played up to what our expectations were.
I said Mizzou's been solid.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
you
I
take,
thought Mizzou was going to be better than they are.
and they very well could be. But I mean, think about this: they played their very first road game of the year last week and went to what was it, double overtime with an Auburn team, which is reeling.
Yeah, Auburn is not good at football or football operations currently.
Well, the fact that Chip, he's out here. I mean, Hugh Freeze is asking for a vote of confidence. That's a bad sign if you're a head coach of a program.
Like asking for the death blow, basically.
That's something.
It's like asking for the guillotine.
It is. So I
You don't eat
mean,
for bread. You know what? Just throw me on the guillotine. Chop and
yeah.
block.
So yeah, at this point, you've played four conference games on this opening stretch, this big stretch we're looking at. You take care of your business of the three at home. You've now gone on the road and taken down Arkansas. Here comes the big test for me. And I think the big test for everybody. Because if you're looking at LSU historically, since we've been in this league, have not won a game in Baton Rouge. Last time we won a game there, 94. Conveniently, last time we went 7-0, also 94. I know
Yeah,
that.
but we didn't play for a whole lot of years either, though.
No, we didn't. We didn't play them again until, what, 2010, 11 for the bowl game in the Cotton Bowl.
Well, yeah, but we didn't start rotating back to Baton Rouge until we joined the SEC.
Exactly, it's 2012. So, that number's a bit misleading, of course. I mean, you've struggled there even mightily in years when, frankly, LSU should not have won games there. We've struggled. So this becomes kind of like the big hurdle for me in terms of, all right, Elko, can you get the guys in the right mindset? Everything is leveled against LSU except for the fact that it's a night game in Death Valley. I mean,
For
you look at
me,
statistically, you look at injuries. I mean, Whit Weeks is probably out, and they are over whenever he hasn't played.
well, and their badass left tackle is out as well,
And
and
the
they're gonna have
backup,
a
they're on third string.
true freshman against Cassius Howell. Like, he's gonna eat his lunch, man.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing about this team and Mike Elko. I don't buy. Like, I don't buy that any of that stuff matters.
And that's very true.
Just think about historic, because we're talking about, like, oh, the trends that A&M's always had. We're 8-4. Notre Dame's a game, like, years before this, we lose. Arkansas is a game that we probably dropped, given the way that game was going,
We
right?
could have, yeah, under a Jimbo team.
Auburn's the kind of game that we end up choking away. So they've bucked trends already.
They have, absolutely.
This team is writing their own history at Texas A&M. I don't think any, like, I'm sure they're aware of it, but they, like, it just, I don't think it phases them. I don't think they care. I think they understand that no game at Baton Rouge at night played before this year ever matters a pile of shit, right? It doesn't.
It doesn't.
We're here to play our brand of football. And one of my favorite things they said, I think they said in a couple of the Pulse episodes, like, put the ball down anywhere and we'll play. Like, put it down in a parking lot, I don't care. And that kind of mentality is the kind of mentality you have to have when you're going into places like Baton Rouge at night, right? When you're going to be in DKR at the end of the season, they're going to be fired up. Their season might be on the line.
Well, especially
Their
for a postseason berth.
bowl eligibility might be on the line.
It very well could be looking ahead at their schedule and the way things kind of panned out from
This
last
week will
week.
mean a whole lot.
That's
Like,
it.
this week will mean, a, like, we'll know a whole lot after they play Klang.
Yeah, I think we're gonna learn a lot about several individuals in the SEC, especially this week, next week. But A&M has an opportunity here. If you take down LSU, get that monkey off of your back.
So that'd just be
Then,
another one.
yeah, another monkey to kick off the back. All of a sudden, you're going to continue to see rumblings about Brian Kelly as the back half of this season continues to go. Because once again, they can't fire him right now. They don't have a president. Nobody can fire the guy right now. But you can at least stoke the fire a little bit on that front. And this is the big one for me. You win the game, you're sitting at 8-0. Going into a bye week to breathe. First playoff polls come out that week. This next week.
Yeah, and again, I beat this to a pulp saying it, but where this bye week is glorious. And I think a lot of people were like, I don't really like it there, I don't really like it there. I think now that we just saw a rock fight, basically, well, an accelerated rock fight in Fayetteville,
Yep.
knowing that we're going to Baton Rouge at night, which unfortunately means something. It does.
It does.
I think I heard a stat, something like, Brian Kelly is like 22 and like
20-1.
20-1 at night, but he's also 5-10 against ranked opponents.
So it's one of those things if something's got to get. Whit Weeks is like, if he's out of the game, they haven't won a game. So there's a lot of little like trends that might get bucked.
That's one of those things. So he didn't practice, and he's in a non-load-bearing boot.
Yeah.
That doesn't bode well. That's a bad injury, man. It's a bone bruise, and
Right.
it must have been awful, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But I don't know. My thing is, do we get the LSU that's backed into a corner, or do we get the LSU that's like, the season's gone?
Well, and that's the question, right? I mean, LSU, the reality of the Tigers, because if we're going to look at their kind of upcoming schedule here. I mean, everything is still in front of them. I mean, you've lost a couple of conference games, yes, but if you take care of your business, I mean, because this is where the rubber meets the road for them. You're playing Texas A&M, then you're at Alabama, then you host Arkansas, who has looked resurgent as hell over these last couple weeks. Western Kentucky should be your gimme, but then you're at Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's got a salty defense. I'm going to be curious to see how their game goes against Ole Miss this week. So all of a sudden, LSU, like this is crunch time. It all starts this weekend, and they know if they want to have a shot at the playoff, even an outside chance, they have to win this game. This is another unfortunate Super Bowl for somebody coming in against us. They have to win.
They're done. If they lose, they're done. Like, absolutely. They lose, they're done. It's that simple.
Yeah, and Kelly's likely fighting for his job, so he's going to throw everything in the kitchen sink to win this game. I expect trick plays. I expect fourth down go for it. I expect plenty of opportunities for them to try to take advantage of the fact that they're at home and work it, work that in their favor. It's going to be a tough game. I have no doubt about that. But I think we out-talent them. I think we out-coach them.
I think everything that they're bad at, we're good at.
Exactly. So
It'll
the
be
question
interesting.
is, how much of an X factor is the night environment going to be on our guys?
Yeah, I know that was like dynamite, analysis, but it's like everything they're bad at, we're good
It's
at.
true. I mean, all you have to do is look at the stats and tell you exactly what we see. So.
This is one of those games. Browning was mentioning this morning. This is one of those games where we haven't put together a game yet where the offense and the defense both decide to play well.
Yeah, the
This could
closest
be
we.
the game where we put it together. And if we put it together, we're going to blow their doors off.
Yeah, I mean, if you can have a similar start, but and I'll admit this, we've been fortunate enough to take the ball to start the second half in a lot of these games. Let them get that first big drive out of the way, and we have not been very good about stopping on the first drive. Either field goals, touchdowns, those have been a thing. You haven't gotten the stops.
I'm all about field. Like, if they move the ball and they kick a field goal, I am completely down with that.
Same.
In possessions and kicks. However it is, they need to end the possession with a kick.
Yeah, whether it's a punt or a field goal,
Yeah,
make them
that
kick the
doesn't
ball.
include extra points.
No extra points, please. We need to limit.
Punt the field goal and you'll run away with the game, no matter who you're playing.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. And I
Minus the
mean,
85 Bears.
yeah, minus the 85 Bears. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot to get excited about with this matchup. I think it's going to be a great game. Once again, night game, Baton Rouge, Red Stick. Aggie's looking to come bunk a trend, man. I'm ready for it.
Well, and you look back at the Arkansas game, mobile quarterback, we had some issues with it. Nussmeier's not mobile.
He's
They're
dinged
missing
up.
left tackle, they're missing a linebacker who are key elements.
Well, and there's a good chance.
Yeah, Nussmeier's dinged up. He's got an oblique injury, isn't it? And that's not something like you can say you're 100%, but oblique injuries just never go away, especially as a quarterback, considering how much of your trunk rotation you have when you're delivering a football.
So, I mean, I think we're going to continue to say what a lot of people have said, which is, the LSU is probably going to go as Garrett goes. And if Garrett is in the state that he's in with the type of pressure we can bring, because we have what was like one of the highest, I think number one, press rating in the country whenever we're getting on a blitz. And I swear, man, we got to get after his butt. Especially with Cassius Howe, especially with some of these other cats on the line that are definitely going to be
Aon
looking.
and Onyedum and all those guys. Yeah, it's outrageous. This is an opportunity for that defensive front to have a really good day.
And take a little pressure off of the secondary, but let the secondary take advantage of the opportunities when they come. They struggled last week. There's no questions about that. Elko said we've had a great week of practice. Everybody seems to be getting kind of in the mindset of, yeah, we know we didn't play up to our standard, and it's time to nut up or shut up this week. I think they got a little embarrassed last week on the back end, and they know that they have a chance to kind of fix it this week.
I think it also goes back to, obviously, whether it's mental lapse or whatever it was last week, I think it goes back to something we touched on. I think it was last week in last week's podcast. This team looks like they watch a lot of film,
I would say that's fair.
and I think that's clearly a culture thing, quite frankly, is kids wanting to watch film and get better, like not avoiding film because they know it's bad. I don't think this is a game where you say take. take the film and just go bury it in the yard and just never think about it again. No, I think you watch it. I think you watch the hell out of that tape and just make sure everybody's kind of on the same page of this is not our standard. We're not going to put up with this. And I think when you have the players bought into that, not just the coaches yelling about we're not going to, we're not going to allow this. I think when the players buy in and like it's that personal pride of having a good defense. So I like how this game sets up. So like I guess we go ahead and start getting to the game a little bit. Excuse me, but to start it off, why don't you give us the weather report for Baton Rouge, at least what it looks like? It's only 2 days away, so it shouldn't be too far off the model.
Yeah, it's not too far off the model, and frankly, Saturday's looking to be a wet one, a stormy one. Right now, they're anticipating upwards of an inch of rain, potentially in Baton Rouge on Saturday. Scattered storms throughout the day, overnight. So the reality is, the opportunity to get the game in is probably going to benefit, unfortunately, from moving the game up for LSU. Like, because if they're going to try to start this thing late, we're gonna get this thing kicked back, kicked back, kicked back, based on just the initial reports. They're expecting a lot of lightning, potentially severe storms, kind of like what we saw with Arkansas. So there's going to be some X factor there in terms of adjusting for the game. I don't know what that's gonna do for game day operations in Baton Rouge. I wouldn't be shocked to see them try to move the game up just because you got to take advantage of your windows when you can, especially whenever you have a line of severe storms rolling through. So,
You're going to move the game up. You have to make that decision really early. Moving it
yeah,
back, you can make closer to game time, but
but
moving it up,
by tomorrow,
that's got to be a decision made tomorrow.
yeah.
Absolutely.
Looking at just kind of the overall outlook here, in fact, Saturday is a potentially interesting day across the entire region down here. So it's all coastal, but College Station's included in this. I'm playing an outdoor show in Brenham that night, so that very well may not be a big help for us, just personally playing a show. But yeah, the whole region is under this slight risk. So once again, a 2 out of 5, but it could potentially grow to 3 out of 5 by this week. I don't anticipate like full on like tornado outbreak or anything crazy like that, but at least right now you're talking about probabilistic chances in the region, pretty good for storms and potentially severe ones. So we're gonna have to keep an eye on that weather coming into this game for sure.
Yeah. Well, LSU last week gave up 239 yards to Vandy, and it was really sunny and a pretty day.
It was.
So if this turns into a slugfest on the ground, I really like our chances.
And that's largely where my brain goes. I expect Reuben Owens, EJ, both to have pretty solid days. I anticipate that Marcel Reed's going to have a pretty solid day on the ground. We've seen that he will, he's been a lot more forward in his thought process for getting the attack on and wanting to get after these guys. And, looking at LSU last week, I mean, you're talking once again, pretty day, absolutely. But if we look at that box score,
How many Pavia go for?
oh, so Pavia, so Parvati, yeah, so Pavia, he threw for 160 and he ran for 86 yards.
So he didn't like dominate on the ground by any means.
No, but he did have another 85-yard rusher, a 42-yard rusher, and another 22-yard rusher,
That's
239 yards on the ground.
kind of what Arkansas did to us, to be honest.
Yeah,
Well,
no,
no,
but the
they have one dude clip off Washington, like clipped off like 140 some odd yards.
right. So you're talking 239 yards on the ground, averaging over 5 yards a carry. And on top of that, you threw for an additional 160, and you were throwing those for 7.5 yards a pass for a touchdown on top of that. But most of their attack was on the ground. You had 3 touchdowns on the ground from them.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna run through some kind of key metrics for this game.
All right.
So like talking on the offense, A&M is ranked 17th in the country in average yards per game. LSU is 81st.
Oof.
Yeah. A&M averages about 36 points a game. LSU is averaging 25. So on offensive production, we are light years better than they are.
Case.
Rushing offense, we're ranked 30th. They're ranked 116th.
Big oof.
Yeah, they're just under 113 yards a game. That is pitiful. Passing efficiency and defense. A&M's passing offense is ranked 35th with efficiency. LSU's 48th. Rushing yards allowed. A&M's 46. Passing yards 46th. So I guess that means we're 46th in the country.
Probably.
LSU, on the other hand, is 41st in rushing yards per game and 32nd in passing yards per game. So their defense is no joke. But again, when you take out Whit Weeks, things change a
They do.
lot, like a lot, a lot. Obviously we're only what 2.5 point favorites, so
Right.
it's tight. But I just kind of seeing those huge disparities between the rankings, I think should give you nothing but confidence, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think people understand the direction these two programs are moving. And A&M has done what they needed to do in the games that they've had. The boys completely understand what the situation is. I have no doubt that Elko has them rocking and rolling this week.
Willing to bet it's a tough week of practice.
Yeah, as it should be. This is a tough game. It's a rivalry game, a Gulf War week for those who observe it.
I like that name actually.
I forever and always will support the idea of calling it the Gulf War. And I think if we do ever end up with a trophy, it should be a Golden Oil rig, please.
Keep
Just like an
talking about it.
offshore oil rig, because it's a bunch of Aggies and a bunch of Tigers that work on those things.
For me, keep the trophies out of it, please.
I'm okay with it. I wouldn't cry about it. I mean, hell, they got that golden boot for Arkansas. That's a huge trophy.
And LSU doesn't like it.
Yeah, that's funny.
They think it's stupid.
And man, that's fair. But I mean, yeah, Gulf War this week. I'm excited about it, man. I always love playing LSU, especially when it's at home. But man, I got a good feeling. I got a good feeling.
It's just, and I know games aren't obviously played on paper, but just the way this matches up, I mean, the one thing that LSU really has going for them is Death Valley at night.
Right. They don't have depth at this stage. They don't have a better passing attack. They don't have a better rushing attack. Their defense is good, but it's kind of on par with ours. So the reality is, we just got to go out there and put it to them.
Yeah. And you obviously can't remove outliers, but I
Right.
wonder what these defensive numbers would look like if you removed Arkansas and you removed Notre Dame.
Right. But once again, what were both of those games? They were road games. So
Yeah,
that's
I'm not
still.
looking to get into a shootout in Death Valley, that's for sure. I mean, I
Oh,
think we could hang with them and beat them. I don't think LSU's built for a shootout. I mean, what did I say? They're like 26 points a game.
well, exactly. So, I mean, you got to think offensively, we've got the tools, but I think you got to do what you did last week on the offensive side of the ball, which is protect the ball. We did a great job of that. No turnovers again. Love
Yeah,
that.
what I'd like to see is slug it out and have close to 200 yards rushing by the half.
Yeah.
Something demoralizing.
Right.
Because as we saw, apparently those fans will just leave.
I mean, the fact that you're a ranked team at night and you're playing South Carolina and the stadium looks half full. The other side of that coin is
One
going to be
score
the,
game.
yeah. And on top of that, it's going to be a nasty weather day. There's going to be empty seats. I mean, I'm seeing tickets going on for here as low as 74 bucks.
Yep.
I mean, if you're an Aggie and you got nothing else better to do this weekend, you don't have plans.
Get in the truck.
You might as well get in the truck because
Yeah,
Baton Rouge, I mean, that's about as cheap of a ticket as you can get. And that fan base is demoralized at the moment. You could go in there and just kind of put one on
but I will say don't wear maroon. If you have a maroon vehicle, don't drive it there. It'll get absolutely vandalized.
them. It will.
So many of them already turned it on Brian Kelly. It's a weird state of affairs out there, man.
I'm watching so yeah, there's a few LSU accounts I keep up with, and one of them, I hit his banter this week is just so soft. Everybody's just like, dude, you're it's sad. It's a sad state of affairs because we can tell your heart's not in it.
Yeah, dude, seriously. Like his tone and his demeanor in his press conferences have just been like, have you quit?
But so he very well may have, and I don't know, and we never will know until they take the field, just exactly where LSU thinks they are. I mean, Arkansas last week got it all in their head. Well, Bobby Petrino has this all-time record against A&M. He's put up these numbers against A&M. And don't get me wrong, he absolutely showed off. The problem is he didn't have the defense to back it up, So that will be an intriguing thing to keep an eye on. Anyway, I think it's a good time to go ahead and get into our picks. Let's start with last week.
Oh, nah.
Yes.
No.
Please. Come on now.
So I got the math right. I figured out where I screwed up.
Okay.
All right, so LSU Vandy. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got Vandy. I picked LSU.
Anchor
So
down.
not mad at that though. Both picked
No.
Georgia Tech to beat Duke. I didn't think that was really that difficult of a pick, but whatever.
Well, as I mentioned before we jumped on the podcast, I thought the line was interesting. And honestly, based on the early game, it certainly looked like the line was about right. But Duke had too many of their own mistakes. Georgia Tech capitalized, had a big fourth quarter, ran them out of the building.
For some reason, and I gotta be honest, I'm gonna have to go back and listen to the podcast because there's no way I wrote this down correctly. I picked Auburn to beat Missouri. That's just not possible. There's no way I made that pick.
I think you did. If I remember correctly, you did pick. Well,
Well,
because it
there's
was a
no
night
way.
game.
There's no way. There's no way I could be that stupid.
MIZ, man.
Mean, there's a way.
There's a way. Hey,
We've
you had faith in Hugh Freeze, and that was your first mistake.
That was mistake number one. That is correct. We both missed on Utah.
Yeah, you know what? BYU, my friend, they look pretty darn good. And I will be the first to eat crow on them because looking at their schedule coming into this, I didn't really see them to be. Oh, yeah, they're undefeated, but once again, haven't played hardly anybody and looked bad against some of
Right.
those teams they did beat. Granted, rivalry game at home against Utah, yeah, worked out for them. Once again, I still think game day should have been there, but I'm just going to go ahead and leave that.
Whatever.
But yeah,
Yeah.
holy war goes to the Mormons.
Yeah. And then we both got the eggs right. You went 4-1. I went 2-3. Ugh. So you have pulled ahead in the standings this week. You are 25-17. I am 24-18. I will rectify that in short order.
Don't worry, you're gonna be right there with me.
All right. So this week, there are a lot of really big lines out there this week. So this is kind of tough to find five games. Well, four, because we're always picking the eggs. But all right, the first one. Number 15 Missouri goes on the road to Nashville to number 10 Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt has one of the most hilarious opportunities in possible right now, is to beat our next opponent 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row, Vanderbilt showing us the way.
Vanderbilt is a 2.5 point favorite at home, so this game is a straight up pick 'em. Does the Vandy story stop? Does the dream story of Vandy being good at football and relevant in football near Halloween, are we going to keep doing this?
I think they can, and I think they definitely will, but I'll get into why I think that. I think Vanderbilt, this is probably one of their biggest weeks in football history at that school, especially within the past 50, 60 years. What was the last time like they were ranked this high? It was 1949, I think I read. It's been a long damn time since Vanderbilt has been this relevant in football.
In case you haven't noticed, and judging by attendance, most of you haven't.
We got ourselves a pretty good team, and they're looking to climb out of the cellar. Yep. Managed to win a few here and there. Oh, they won more than a few. They've won six. They're
Yeah.
bowl eligible and have looked damn good doing
They're
it.
bowl eligible on the 23rd of October.
Yeah, and they're pretty damn good at
What?
this point. Mizzou going on the road for the second straight week after once again not having had a home game up until last week, and they struggled mightily with Auburn, who once again we've determined is probably not that great of a football team. Good defense, but not great offense. You're going up against a very good offense in Vanderbilt. You're coming up against a pretty salty defense in Vanderbilt. It's at their building. It's ESPN game day. Super hype. The pimp Vandy Commodore is going to be there. Josh Sneed. Granted, he's not the game day picker, which is the biggest fumble I have ever seen in my entire life.
Who's the
ESPN.
picker? Who's the
They
picker?
haven't announced yet. They just said he's going to be on like the early slot, just as a talking point. He's not going to be the picker, which is incredibly stupid. But that's on par for the course at this stage for game day.
They're right.
So if I had to pick, yeah, I think Vanderbilt, they cover easy. Honestly, I think they win by a touchdown, maybe 10 points.
Yeah, I'll take Vandy as well.
I'd say Mizzou does not impress me in this matchup.
Next one. This line is weird to me, so that's why we're picking it. So this is number 11 BYU, who we were just talking about, is going on the road to unranked Iowa State, and Iowa State is a 2.5 point favorite.
Yeah, Iowa State hasn't disappeared out
Isn't it
of
five and two?
yeah, they haven't disappeared out of the ether. They've lost a couple of games, actually their last two. You lose to Cincinnati. Tough game, absolutely. And you're competitive in that game, but you don't win it.
Which is
And
good.
Cincinnati has shown their moxie. They're undefeated in conference play. They've been, I'm pretty sure, right at this stage. Yeah, they're 4-0 conference play, right alongside BYU. They're one of two undefeateds left. So, and on top of that, then you turn around and you lose to Colorado, and that's pretty inexcusable if you're Iowa State.
Yeah.
But BYU's feeling pretty good about themselves, but this is a trap game in my mind because you're coming off of the super high of beating your rival at home. Now you got to turn around and go on the road to Ames, which in recent years has proven to be a tough place to navigate. So the line doesn't shock me as much as it would shock some. That being said, I think Iowa State's got a really, really good opportunity to make some noise in this game. But I'm going to have a hard time picking against BYU at this stage. They look pretty darn good.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I got the Cougars.
Yeah, so
All right,
I'm
this
in on the Cougs.
for a lack of games that had tight lines, we're gonna pick against the spread on this one.
Okay.
So this is UCLA at number two, Indiana. The line is 26.5 points against a Neuheisel team that they've looked good.
For a lack of a better word, they have looked good. I mean, you're talking about at this stage a resurgent UCLA team who, after losing to Northwestern, I questioned, man, are they going to lose out? Are they about to go 0-12?
I think everybody did.
There was a very good chance they could have. But you turn around, you beat Penn State, who was coming off of their loss to Oregon, and you take care of that business. It's over there in LA, you take care of that business. You go on the road to Michigan State, beat the brakes off of them, really. And then you come back home, you play Maryland. Maryland plays a tight game to you, but you win it. In no world do I think that UCLA wins this game,
No,
but 26 and a half is insanity, in
I
my
just think
opinion.
it is just the, with the way UCLA has looked, I think it's completely bonkers.
I mean, I think Indiana's a good team. I mean, they're number two in the country for a reason. I think they're a damn good team. They've certainly looked at, but they have shown at times in some of these games like they're not invincible by any means. Man, I think UCLA is going to go in there and put some points on. It's 11 a.m. kickoff, so we're talking. Let's say, what's Indiana? Are they Central Time over there? I don't remember if Bloomington is or not. But you're regardless. You're coming from the West Coast, playing at. You're playing at Indiana, essentially at 9 a.m. or potentially 8 a.m. body time. Bright and early start. It's going to be a tough game for UCLA, but I think.
It's Eastern time zone.
All right, so yeah, so 8 a.m. body time in Bloomington for UCLA.
Traveling east never works out well, especially with early games. There's a crazy stat about that in the NFL.
Yeah, so that's where the other that's the other factor to consider here. Once again, I don't think UCLA wins at all, but they could cover.
Yeah, that's 8 in the morning for them, basically.
So that's yeah.
You take Indy to cover. When you start thinking about all the factors, that's
Right.
not a
Man, you're talking 20, basically 27 points. Can UCLA hold them to 26 points? Under the expected. I think UCLA does cover. I'm gonna go ahead and say that they at least find a way in the second half to make it a little more competitive because that's the other thing to consider here is if it does get into garbage time, there will be backups in the game. So I could absolutely see UCLA covering it maybe even late.
Yeah, I got UCLA covering. That line's just too big for me.
It's way too big.
Not with what I've seen the last few weeks out of UCLA.
No.
Okay, number 23, Illinois goes on the road to Washington. The Huskies are 3.5 point favorites.
Yeah, talking about two teams sitting at 6-1 and the way things have trended, you ask yourself, okay, who deserves to be ranked, who doesn't? Washington, yeah, you lose at Michigan. That's a not a great loss for them. They've already lost to Ohio State at this stage. But then again, so is Illinois. They go, yeah,
So has
they host.
everybody else that's played Ohio State.
Yeah. So, you lose 34-16 at home in this situation. Now you got to go on the road to the West Coast with Washington. Washington's looking to get their, looking to get their get back game here after losing to Michigan.
Yeah,
And
I don't hate Michigan. It's weird to me because like Bryce Underwood is the most underwhelming quarterback on the face of the planet, and somehow Michigan keeps finding ways to win football games.
they're 5-2. They got a big road game at Michigan State this week, but I mean
Who's
they can
playing with
have
them? It should be Michigan, right? Favored in that game?
I definitely think they're favored in that game.
Yeah, I don't know what Michigan State is doing this year, so
They're not great.
that would be a total guess on my part. Let's see here.
No, they have not been very
Oh
good.
yeah, Michigan's 14.5 point favorites. Yeah, Michigan State's 3-4, so
Yeah, they're not very good. This one's kind of a tough game for me to pick. I tend to lean towards Washington just with it being a home game. They're looking to get ranked here. And Illinois, the two higher ranked teams they've faced, they lost in pretty convincing fashion. And I think Washington's a ranked team. So at least in my brain, I would rank them. So I will go Huskies.
you know what? I'm gonna go Illinois.
All right. A little separation's good.
Yeah,
We'll
I'm gonna
see what happens.
go Illinois. I don't know why.
Well,
That's my analysis. I have no idea why.
that's like I could absolutely see them winning that game, no question, but I
Yeah, three
think.
three and a half at home. It's a coin flip. You're traveling west, so you don't have
All
to worry
right.
about the time differential. So it's again, I mean,
Less of an issue.
this game is a full-blown toss-up.
Yeah.
All right, so now it comes down to Saturday night in the Red Stick in Death Valley. The Aggies are 2.5 point favorites. We outlined all the matchups. We talked about all the numbers. And if LSU were to win this game, it's not because LSU won the game. It's because Texas A&M gave the game away. I don't think LSU has the tools to take this game from Texas A&M, especially with those two key players being out. I don't think Nussmeier, I mean, it kind of depends on which Nussmeier you get, but even then, if there's torrential downpour kind of rain, it doesn't affect the passing game as much as it used to, but it still does. And watch out for those, dude, watch out for the pressure because I think we're gonna dial it up all night long. And again, we talked about this too. Like we live in the pressure, man. Our defense is pressure. Like, we don't have to dial up blitzes to produce pressure. I think we get home to Garrett plenty of times. I think we establish a fierce running game. Fierce running game. If this is the week that everything clicks, we're going to win by 20. But
And
so far, we haven't had a game where everything clicks. So I'm not going to assume it does. But I still think we win this game. And I still think we win this game and cover. No, I mean, 2.5 is cover. Yeah, whatever.
this is a complementary football team. They
Yeah,
find ways
one
to
side's
win.
bad, the other side's good.
Yeah, this is a complementary football team. They find ways to win. At this stage of our season, A&M has proven that time and time again. I know we talked about it last week going into the Arkansas game. With a little bit of confidence, I'll be honest, I had some reservations in my heart just because I was like, man, it would not shock me to see something out of Arkansas today. And they gave us something. Everybody saw it. It was great, great effort from them. But this team knows how to win. This team knows how to win in tight situations, in very raucous night game environments. I mean, we basically ended up having to play a night game with Arkansas after the pushback. So you already had to deal with night games twice. And you took care of your business against Notre Dame, who has at since looked very good. They took care of
Yeah.
their business against USC this past week.
Talk about a resume win with them beating USC.
Yeah. The fact is, Notre Dame continues to improve their stock for the college football playoff, which works for our favor because all of a sudden, hey, you've beat a playoff contender. And that's huge for the voters. It doesn't matter if it happened, the first 2 weeks, two, three weeks.
And Notre Dame is a playoff, will always be a playoff contender because they're helmet, man.
Yeah, and I said it's one of those things to keep in mind. So, I mean, with all the factors, I frankly don't think it necessarily has to come down to a perfect game for A&M. It's complimentary football. We find a way to win. It might be a little more competitive than we like late, but I think A&M wins this game, and I think they win it by a score, potentially two.
Well,
It
and Vegas is rarely wrong, and it's going to be a tight game. I mean,
will be a
that's,
tie game.
I think we win by 7 or 10.
And if we do win by more than that, ooh, buddy, that bye week is going to be just
You have to keep the
a
kids off
time.
social media to keep them kissing their own butts,
Pretty
man.
much. I mean, that's going to be the situation. A&M sitting,
Last time 8-0 was 92.
been a long time. And this would be a hell of a time to pop that particular issue. So we shall see, but give me the Aggies.
Absolutely.
Go home, LSU. I do want to talk about two quick games before we roll along too far that we did not pick that I think have some intrigue. Ole Miss and Oklahoma.
That should be a good game. The line was a little big, and that spread for the UCLA game was so ridiculous. I had to throw that on there.
Well, yeah. And so you got Ole Miss going to Oklahoma. It's going to be an interesting time for Ole Miss to see how that, see how they kind of respond to what happened with the Georgia game last week. You give up a score on every single drive. You scored on virtually every drive to start the game, but that fourth quarter, you got completely shut down. And you're going up against a very good defense in Oklahoma. Offense, which looked pedestrian at times against South Carolina, but they still won. And you took care of business on the road. And you shut down that team. I'm going to be very intrigued to see if Ole Miss, now sitting on the precipice of, all right, you have that conference loss now. Do you fall down the hole and get that second conference loss?
Oof,
So,
that's an 11 a.m. kick.
yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, it's also one of those kicks. And then at 3:15 p.m. Eastern, Texas goes on the road to Starkville. They have yet to, in the modern era, visit Starkville and the Cowbells. And on top of that, it is homecoming. And they decided to break back the MSU logo for the maroon helmet, and the state fans could not be more excited about this game. The line is at 7.5 for Texas. Do they score 7.5 points?
That line's gonna fall, man. People are gonna start putting money on Mississippi State. I think that line probably ends up around 5.5.
Well, and it's interesting because it opened at 6.5 for Texas. It has improved for Texas to 7.5 at the moment, but man,
I could see that line falling. I don't know. Mississippi's poor. They don't have money to gamble.
No, and the reality is Texas has a great defense, and I think they're going to get after Mississippi.
I don't think they have a great defense. I think going into the year, we talked about how they were going to be elite, right? And
Okay.
we thought LSU defense was going to be elite. I think they have really, really good defenses, but they're not elite.
Good defense. I said great, good defense.
Yeah, somewhere between good and great.
Yes, they're not what we expected at the beginning of the
They're
year.
not world beaters, but they are well above average. I mean, I'll give them to them. They have a really good defense. I can't call
Yeah.
them great.
No, like I said, they got a good defense.
And you stonewalled Kentucky.
Yeah, and
Well, Mark Stoops is grade A moron.
right.
Yeah, I'll be interested in that game. So I doubt there's any Texas fans that listen to this podcast, but if there is, I can tell you, if you're going to the game, do not be hungover. Those cowbells will drive you out of the stadium.
And I would encourage your protection if
Yeah,
that's your
it's
jam.
legit, man. Like
It's very loud.
everybody has a cowbell.
It's a
Ugh.
very loud stadium, and I do not miss having to go to games there.
It's a crappy trip.
Yeah, I don't. I'm so ecstatic that they are not on our rotating for the permanent opponents. When that was
Holy
initially
crap.
floated, I was like, please no.
Well, and so when we were in school, it's different. They've now enclosed a lot of that stuff too. Like
They
they just,
have.
so it's, I can't fathom how loud it is now.
Oh, in 16, it was ridiculous.
I think it's complete crap that they're allowed to, but
And
old man,
what?
yelling at cloud moment. Got to get one in every week.
Yeah. And to our fine friends at Texas Tech.
That
Sorry
is like
about you.
the announcement about the tortillas at Tech is the most techiest tech thing that could ever tech.
Your AD goes out and basically makes a big FU to the Big 12. Turns around, has to renege on that.
Yep.
All while your entire fan base this past week was talking about how we need to get out. We need to go to the SEC. We got to go to the Big 10. Like, they're not going to sit here and ban your tortillas as well, idiot. Anyway, you're going to deal with all of that hype, all that talk, all those teams you beat the hell out of, and none of it matters now. Because you lose to Arizona State, who frankly didn't look that good against Utah at all. And at this stage, I think Utah would probably be at least a 7-point favorite against you on a neutral field.
Yeah,
Tech.
my how the turntables.
And, they've all I'm gonna say is Oklahoma State's in for a reckoning this week. Good luck.
You know they're yeah.
It's gonna be bad news bears for them.
Wonder how many people are going to get kicked out.
There is no end to that list. I think there's going to be a lot of cowbells. I mean, there's going to be a lot of tortillas still. They're going to try their best. I mean, I love the fact that even Oklahoma State fans have come out and said, we should just bring in tortillas and throw them just to get penalties for Tech. And I'm like, man, that's a little bit of a blow the belt, but I can appreciate that. So.
Little bit.
Little bit. So we are lacking in the question department this week. That's okay. My buddy Cody Rose, he commented asking us to talk about the Phantom holding call. We did talk about it, so that's
Yeah, we
been
addressed
covered.
it. And if you get a chance and you haven't heard yet for some reason, like if you don't have like notifications turned on your phone for like sports news, go look into the FBI's gambling sting that occurred today. It is bonkers, dude. Bonkers. Like, a sitting head coach for an NBA team got arrested. The mafia is involved. Like, it is all over the place. So, do yourself a favor and go look that stuff up because it is fascinating what's coming out of this.
Also, SEC suspending that head referee or from the Georgia Auburn game. There was action taken, which
Yeah.
makes me wonder, which honestly.
I'm gonna file that in the too little, too late category.
Well, and what's funny about that for me? is just the fact that it came out about that particular game, and there has been no statement as to why or where. So it makes you wonder what was the reasoning behind this fine, what behind this permanent suspension?
Did that guy get arrested too?
I don't think so,
Have
but
we
he
looked?
might have. I mean, it wouldn't be shocked.
Maybe he's one of the 30 people that got arrested.
Could have been. I mean,
And
could you imagine?
the FBI gave the SEC a heads up ahead of time? Maybe. God, can you imagine,
That would
dude?
be
That would.
hilarious. If we did digging in on this and we find out that all of a sudden we've had a large number of people who have been involved in some kind of sports gambling ring against this conference, ooh, buddy, it's gonna be way too wet to plow.
Yeah.
I know I've said it once today, I'm saying it again.
And
So
you know what? You know what? I'm here for it.
I'm about it. All right, I'm gonna ask you one more question since we didn't get a ton. I'm gonna ask you a question. A&M going to Baton Rouge, LSU likely going to be rocking some form of all white, or they're going to be doing yellow, white, yellow. What does A&M wear? What's our uniform combo this week?
Well, they'll wear whites because they always wear white at home.
They will.
I'd love for them to also wear the white helmet, and then us go maroon white.
Business trip.
Yeah, I mean you could go all maroon. I don't think that's a popular pick.
I personally would love all maroon, but yeah, that's just because I love the current rendition of all maroon, I think looks great.
My take is just make sure you contrast to whatever they're wearing.
Of course.
That's
D
it.
dark helmet.
Like this week, if I was a football team and the social media team, I would wait for LSU to put out what they're going to wear, and then from that, I would be like, all right, here are the combinations that we want to wear to make sure we contrast from them on the field.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good. Oh yeah, they already asked. It's like, what jersey do you think we're rocking this weekend? And everybody's asking. I don't know what's gonna
If
happen.
I were a betting man, LSU's probably gonna go white, white, yellow, or white, white, gold.
I've never seen that combo from them ever.
Yeah, I know. They got to mix something up. Nothing's going right over there. So
Well,
white, my white gold would be, I might look pretty sharp, honestly.
might be a little different. Yeah, I'd be curious to see where they go on that front. They have done all white against us several times over the years. Yeah, they did it last season. I want to say they did it in 22 or yeah, I
Yeah,
guess
but
we're at
if they
23.
do like gold white, was it? Do they go gold white gold?
Gold white gold's their standard
That's
home.
their standard, right? Gold white gold. So you
Yeah.
can go maroon or you can go white. I don't give a shit. I just for me, the biggest thing is just having a contrast between the two.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned the possibility of what if they did all maroon with a script Aggies on the helmet? Just you complete the trifecta. Throw script Aggies on
The complete
maroon.
opposite, like literally the complete opposite of Notre Dame. Do a
Yeah.
white fan mask.
Right.
That could be good.
I could be really good. I mean, not that I'm opposed to scripts or anything. I mean, I think it'd be. I love the Aggie script, and I love that we've been a little bit more liberal with it recently. I'm cool with it. In fact, if that's what they keep in the end zones going forward, I wouldn't cry about it. Don't get me wrong. The Texas A&M's in the end zone, old school Texas Aggies in the end zone's cool, but man, that
I want
script
Texas
Aggies.
Aggies. I want Texas Aggies.
Texas Aggies would be good. If you Texas Aggie script? Who knows? I'll say Texas Aggies would be cool.
All right, we
But
have gone way long today, so.
we've been getting some long podcasts in, bud. We've had plenty to talk about.
Well,
So
when the Aggs are winning, everybody's happy.
everybody's happy. So we've got ourselves a good little podcast out of the way here today. Lots of good stuff. I'm excited. It's gonna be a fun weekend. Hopefully, Aggies do exactly what we just told them to do here on this podcast, and they go out there and win. Make my life happy, make your life happy. And you're sitting 8-0 heading into the first playoff poll to come out and a
And
bye
into the bye
week.
week.
Yeah. So you can
Yeah.
sit back and relax for a week, reset your brain, get set to take on Mizzou. But first things first, we got to roll into Red Stick and take care of business.
It'll be interesting tomorrow to keep up with to see if they try and pull the game forward a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to have to keep an eye out for that. So yeah, as of this podcast, the game is still slated to go on 6:30, but we'll see if they end up making some adjustments based on the
I
forecast.
just
So
I hate end game delays.
same
Like
here.
delay the game or pull it forward. Like I hate that shit.
Yeah, Arkansas did a great job last week. Hey, we know the storm's going to be out of here
Yeah.
by 4:30. Let's just go ahead and plan on that.
Absolutely.
And that'll be, I said, we'll just kind of have to keep an eye on that future cast as we get a little bit closer, but plenty to get into on that. In the meantime,
Right.
if you are on the socials, which you probably are, you should follow us. You should follow Rob the Slapper on both X and Instagram. Be sure to follow Roy May Jr. on Instagram, Roy May 15 on X, as well as the Red Ass Podcast. Be sure to like, give us a comment, subscribe on YouTube so hit that little bell when you know we upload. We're typically uploading on Thursdays. We're probably gonna have to move it up next week because your boy is getting ready to hit the road for 2 weeks.
Very well.
I'm gonna be going to Midwest. We're gonna be rolling up through Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Chicago next week.
Mealy
Milwaukee. And then that next week, we're gonna be rolling out, hitting the road, gonna be doing Wichita, Des Moines, and this is the kicker. We will be in Columbia, Missouri, the day A&M's playing Mizzou.
really?
It worked out on the schedule. I went and double checked, and I was like, I'll be dipped. We're gonna be in town. A bunch of Aggies in this band
Well,
playing.
if Vandy could beat Mizzou, that might be an early kick.
It might be an early kick, and oh, that would be
Yeah, you need
tempting.
Mizzou to kind of stumble out of the gate in the next couple of weeks.
That'd be tempting for sure. I think that'd be really,
Tickets would
really
be
cool.
cheap.
Tickets would be cheap, yeah. And I would love an opportunity to get out and watch a road game in the SEC if we can somehow swing it.
Dude, the environment in Missouri sucks. It's like a high school, like a Texas high school football game.
Yeah, so we'll
Not
go
that
in
that's
there and we'll.
bad for high school, but it's bad for college.
Yeah, so we'll be getting into that. I'm excited about all that. But once again, social stuff is there. We appreciate all of y'all coming in, checking out the podcast today. I am Rob White. This is Roy May. We are the Red Ass Podcast. Take care. Beat the ever-living hell out of LSU, and we will see y'all at the bye. Giggle.